question when we're going by feelings is not, you know, is this biblical? Is this what the church needs? But, you know, will this help us feel God?
Yes.
You know, were we? Is this going to make people passionate? You know, it's about our feelings rather than, no, we're going to be faithful to proclaim who God is, what he's done for us, Christ, what he's done for us in Christ, and then let the Spirit do his work.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sound Plus Doctrine, the podcast of Sovereign Grace Music, where we explore what the Bible has to say about music and worship in the church and encourage those who plan, lead, and participate in their Sunday gatherings each week. Hello, and welcome to the Sound Plus Doctrine podcast. My name is David Zimmer.
My name is Bob Coughlin.
And what are we talking about today, Bob?
Well, you should know. we're going to try and tackle the topic of planning, spontaneity, and authenticity.
Wow.
Yeah.
So already, you know, the spontaneous people, they're gone. They're out.
When you said planning.
Yeah, planning. Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about spontaneity.
Actually, we're going to talk about all of them. And we toyed around with different titles for this, you know, to plan or not to plan. Is that the question?
Right.
To plan or to be spontaneous. Is that the question? You know, planning versus spontaneity. Who will win out in the battle of the... we dropped all those and just went with planning, spontaneity, and authenticity.
I like, though, that you added authenticity, though, because that's, you know, for every leader, I just want to be authentic.
I just want
to be my real self.
You know? Rather than your fake self.
Yeah, rather than your fake
that
self.
That is the spirit of our age.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always been an issue. Mm. You know, I've been doing this for a long time now. And I remember reading ads early on just for worship songs or worship albums or whatever, you know, authentic, real, genuine. Like, everybody else
organic.
Has gone before. Organic. Everybody else has gone before me is inauthentic.
Right.
They're fake.
Right.
They're manufactured.
Right.
It's just like, no, guys, really, there's a tension. That's what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
This tension between planning and spontaneity. Because when you plan, here's the benefit of planning is you know what you're going to do. You've thought about it. You've actually put thought into it. You're able to like make it balanced. You know, say the things you want to say, and hopefully you're not going to do anything heretical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's although some people plan and they do heretical stuff anyway. When you're spontaneous, and this is that whole thing of authenticity, you feel authentic.
Yeah,
you feel more real. Mm-hmm. It feels more personal. And I mean, I feel that I've watched people, you know, they have a script, they have something they're reading, and then they go off script.
Right.
And they're thinking, in fact, we used to do this here at Sovereign Grace Church Louisville, where, you know, we have a pastoral prayer each week, and, you know, guys they'd write out their prayer, and it'd be really great. But then, like, they'd just veer off every so often, and we really mean this, Lord. And we just have to tell each other, that doesn't make it better. I mean, I know you think it makes it better, but it's not really making it better. And yet, there are other times when you do something spontaneous. In fact, I just asked this question recently. You do something spontaneous, or something happens spontaneously, not what you planned, and people come up to you afterwards and go, wow.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That is so funny. You know, it's almost like you have to plan so that you can be spontaneous and so that you can be authentic.
Yeah.
So we could just end the podcast right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was that great helpful?
To be
we
with
hope
you.
That was helpful.
Yeah,
we'll see you next
us.
Time. No, we have more to say. It's not a choice. It's not a choice between being planning and being spontaneous and authentic.
Right.
We want to talk about how you can plan and be spontaneous and authentic all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would make the case that those who are prepared to be spontaneous will have more opportunities to glorify God.
Mm.
And that preparation is the key part, because it's planning. Yeah. That's the preparation. Spontaneity rarely happens in a vacuum. And if it does, that's usually a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just making it up as we go along.
Right.
And a lot of people who are spontaneous find that what they do tends to be repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's redundant. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And they think it's spontaneous. Well, not really. You just keep doing the things, you know, whatever comes in your mind, and it happens to be five things that you choose from, and it's that way all the time. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest 20th century preachers, in he lived in England, was quoted in the book The Sacred Anointing. He said this: "The Spirit generally uses a man's best preparation, or a woman's best preparation. It is not the Spirit or preparation; it is preparation plus the unction and the anointing and that which the Holy Spirit alone can supply." So I love that he brings together the Spirit, or the more spontaneous, maybe we might think that way, and preparation. So we plan and prepare so that we might be spontaneous without fear, without concern. I think that'd be the goal. If you're a leader and you're struggling through this, maybe you're a planner. What would you be, David? Would you tend to, just by nature?
Well, I feel like I love to improvise. Mm-hmm. You know, so musically, I always feel more comfortably like interacting with what's happening around me.
Right at the moment.
Right at the moment.
Agree.
Yeah, you're similar to that. Yeah.
How about speaking?
Which is why it's really, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Which is why it's really funny, just a little pull back the curtain insight. It's like so hard for Bob and I to play to ourselves.
Yes.
When we've pre-recorded. And Grace is probably shouting amen from the control room.
What do you mean that play to ourselves?
Well, when we like pre-record and then we have to like film it,
yes.
It's like, it's brutal. It's like it never aligns up because we like to improvise. We like to adapt.
Make music in the moment.
In the moment, yeah.
Make music. Don't play a chart, make music.
Right. So absolutely, I do terrible on my toes. Like, just talk.
Oh, speaking. You know? Yeah, okay, never move to speaking. Yeah.
That was just a perfect example of. So I definitely need to plan and prep. I need to put way more emphasis on my preparation. But I also, like, this is a good podcast for me because I want to be in the I want to be in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I want to use the notes, use the planning, but also be able to just like speak freely.
Well, I would say, we're in our 10th season of this podcast, which I think that's 6 years, 5 years. I'm not sure.
Since 2020 it started.
2020, shush. But I would say you have grown, from what I can see, more in spontaneous speaking. But it's because you've grown in your knowledge, and you've grown in preparation. So musically, you're prepared. You've been a professional musician for years, and so to get up and start talking about music, that's like breathing. Just wake me up in the middle of the night. I'm ready.
Right.
But the other, there is a confidence that comes through planning over and over and over that will help you be spontaneous. So we're gonna split this up by first just talking about planning and what's so great about planning. Because I know there are some leaders who are listening to this, and you don't have to be a leader. You love the spontaneous, and let's just go. And no, God commends planning.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. God commends planning. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty, or maybe spontaneous, comes only to poverty. So that's in the area of finances, but it applies to every area.
Oh, it's like, building a house. And even like in cooking, it's like mise en place. It's everything has its right place. It's like
have, what? I'm sorry?
Mise en place.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so it's a French term of just like everything has its... Everything has its right place where it's if you're coming to cook, bring all the ingredients together so that you're not cooking and then running to go get something else.
Got it.
It's like when you're speaking publicly, we don't have any ingredients in front of us.
Yes, yeah.
We're just going like, I'll just riff on like what I'm looking at and what's around me.
Other than what's already there.
Right.
Which is where the preparation comes.
Yeah.
Julie and I, when we build something, we're so different. We put something together. I want to read all the plans.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have all the pieces? Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, we have all those.
Yeah.
And the, you know, just all that stuff. Julie, okay, pull it out. All right, let's get going.
Yeah.
She's just right in there. And I tell her, babe, I've rescued you so many times. But the worst is when you plan and you still build it wrong.
Oh,
that's
my
the
word.
Worst.
Yeah, that's IKEA.
Okay, anyway. All right. So God commends planning. That's the first thing we're talking about. So what the benefits of planning? Someone maybe needs to be convinced.
Oh.
Why is this so important? Well,
so many.
For a meeting, first, it indicates an awareness of our need for God before the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we just charge in with, yeah, I'm just going for it, you know, as we begin planning, we realize, like, how little we know.
Yeah.
Maybe because we're being spontaneous then, and we realize, oh, there's nothing to draw from.
Yeah.
You know, how unprepared we are or what a significant task we face. So that's planning just makes us alert to those things. It can help us, especially leading music, it can help us be more intentional about our theological diet.
Mm.
That would apply to preaching as well.
Definitely.
You know, a preacher shouldn't just like be listening during the week, yeah, what should I preach on this week? I don't know. You know, you want to plan that out. And in Sovereign Grace Church of Louisville, we use the word in a call to worship. We are building it on the message from the previous Sunday. We put scripture readings in that emphasize that thought, that theme, and the gospel. We have a benediction, which is the word of God. We have a pastoral prayer. We're thinking about song themes over the long haul.
Yeah.
All those things can't be done without planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we just kind of went into Sunday planning, or if we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Just said, hey, let's just show up. I mean, I used to do that in the 70s. We
yeah.
just used to show up. It can prepare people to serve with their contributions. So we generally send out songs on Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday. And so if people aren't familiar with a song or have to be prepared to share a testimony or whatever, that gives them time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not everybody's a professional musician, a professional speaker.
Right.
So
right.
It just gives them an opportunity. And then it makes us less likely to lead by emotion or experience.
Yeah, I think this one's huge.
Yeah. So for you, like as you're standing up to lead, what do you see is that you said you tend to be more spontaneous,
mm-hmm.
not as planned. What's been the change in your thinking over the years as you've realized? Yeah, here's my tendency.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with your help, I think when I was leading worship back in California, it was just kind of like on the whim of how I felt that day, like on the whim of how I felt that morning, maybe in my quiet times or just like, yeah, I'm feeling a little melancholy today. So I'm going to just kind of, I had already prepped everything, but my just sort of like my spirit kind of got to the place where I thought, I'm kind of going to lead these songs sort of melancholy. And I'm just going to focus on how, like, things are really hard and things are really challenging.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is exactly what I've learned and how, and I feel like I still do that, you know, on occasion, but I'm trying to grow in that area.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you have helped me so much to think, like, it's so not about how you feel in this moment.
Yeah.
You know, and the right leader is going to be able to, you know, take in all of the information
yes.
of how everyone is kind of experiencing things in the room. And another example of this, just to kind of bring it home, is CJ has really helped. You know, he'll preach a sermon, he'll get to the end, and we talk about landing the plane, right? He's sort of like, he will either land it sort of down emotionally.
Yes, yes.
Or more introspective or up emotionally.
Yes.
And let's celebrate and sing.
Yes.
And where you have helped me and he has personally helped me.
So this is CJ Mahaney,
yeah.
our senior pastor.
Where you both have helped me is don't go into that thinking in your mind how you feel. You have to draw a direct line to how did he, what was the feeling? What was the vibe of that?
Yes.
What was the feeling of how he did that? Or he's saying, Lord, we need your help as we go to in song. Yeah. And it's like, stand on your feet, everybody. Let's go. And so that was a really long-winded way to share that. But I think those are two things that have been helpful for me.
Yeah, and that's we're going to talk about that when planning doesn't always ensure that you plan the right things.
Yeah, right.
That's a drawback of planning. But the point you're making is it's just not about what I feel at the moment. Mm-hmm. And planning can help you rise above that. The question when we're going by feelings is not, is this biblical? Is this what the church needs? But, will this help us feel God? Is this going to make people passionate? It's about our feelings rather than, we're going to be faithful to proclaim who God is, what he's done for us in Christ, and then let the Spirit do his work.
Yes.
So we're not trying to make things happen emotionally.
Yep.
It enables large groups to maximize their time better. I won't spend any time on that. Mm-hmm. And it can help us give more effective and timely spoken contributions. Mm-hmm. So you were talking moments ago about just how you're learning to just be more prepared in those things.
Yeah, more succinct, not as droning on, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is where authenticity comes in. We think, if I prepare it, I don't know if it'll be authentic. Mm-hmm. I mean, planning doesn't mean you can't be spontaneous, but planning doesn't mean you can't be authentic either.
Right.
And I think, I'd say to leaders, when we are reading something we've prepared or saying something we've prepared, we should seek to be affected by that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we get off a little bit thinking, this is just a mind thing. I'm just reading it.
Yes.
So it doesn't need to carry any emotion, any affection. Some people would even say, don't show that you're affected.
Yes.
I would say, and I think Scripture would support this.
Definitely would.
My heart is steadfast, oh God. I will sing and make melody with all my being.
Yeah.
Psalm 108. It's like, if I'm affected, I want people to see it.
Totally. And so that's what I love about how you're thinking through. Throwing that authentic word in there is really great because you're trying to figure out the spirit and emotion of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you know what else isn't authentic when you plan and you say, can help us give more, let's read from the Bible, Scripture. That's what, just reading your notes. We talk to guys that come to our intensive and every word is planned. Mm, mm. So the song we just sang was,
yes, that, each word.
That's how I can.
And doesn't feel that great. But to get to the positives of planning, it can keep you from veering off into just emotional silliness or repetitive things.
Yeah.
So that's some of the limitations. Can't replace dependence on the Holy Spirit. Planning can't.
Right.
CJ has said to me for years, and I'm sure I've said this on the podcast, the Holy Spirit helps us plan, but our plans are not the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So helpful, very succinct. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit helps us when we plan, and the Holy Spirit helps us as we lead.
Yeah.
Both are true. Planning can't ensure everything will go right. Talked about that. If the equipment malfunctions or if people call in sick, we've planned.
Yes. The drummer's gone. What's going to happen?
Guys. Yeah. It's the world's going to fall apart. Can't ensure that we've made the right plans. So I've seen... groups, bands, work through an introduction, an intro to a song or an arrangement. And it just, it's just like everybody checks out when they play that. But they planned it. They prepared it. Mm. So it's not necessarily the right plan. Mm-hmm. So you learn that by experience. As far as the Lord and planning, this is good to keep in mind, helpful for us to remember, only the Lord's plans are infallible.
Right.
Only the Lord's plans endure.
Right.
Psalm 33, verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples, and that may be us on any given Sunday. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations, which means sometimes it's the Lord's plan to overrule our plans.
Yeah.
He might want us to be more dependent.
Right.
He might want us to just recognize he's the one in charge. He's the one who receives the glory. So he just might do something different. You know, the plans of the Lord, heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:1. Mm-hmm. Remember one time, well, a number of times we've been leading and electricity has gone out. Mm-hmm. Didn't plan for that. One time a woman was given a testimony and she had cancer and she was dying and it went on for 20 minutes. And fortunately, she was very funny, so that was good. But I mean, that our total plan was shot.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so planning doesn't ensure you made the right plans.
Yeah.
And the gospel assures us that God plans to use the worst of our plans for our greatest good in His glory.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
All right, so let's talk about spontaneity.
Great.
This is your deal. God commends spontaneity. What's so great about spontaneity? I trust that people know that you see in Scripture all kinds of places where God does things spontaneously.
Mm.
Now, some of those are tied to the story of the Bible, what God's doing in history.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book of Acts, you know, 3,000 get saved on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
God's doing something there. So it's not like you can say, well, it should be like that now. Well, no, that's not quite true.
Right.
But God can do things that surprise us, things that shock us. So what are some of the benefits that you've seen, that you can talk about in terms of spontaneity? What does it help us do?
Yeah, well, I mean, the you already mentioned this briefly, but it causes a dependence on the Lord, not a dependence on ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we're, especially in our Reformed circles, I think we're so dedicated to the truth of God's word and preaching the truth of God's word and singing the truth of God's word, which is all yes and amen.
Amen, amen.
But I think sometimes we feel like, that has nothing to do with me, with our people.
Mm.
So. And I think sometimes what you can lose out on is the fact that God is doing incredible things in our midst, in our gatherings.
Yes.
And
more like we're just checking a box. We did this.
Yes, that's what I mean. So more dedicated to your liturgy than you are to, are we seeing and experiencing Jesus?
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah, because there are seasons where it seems that waves, I'd say, where people just get enthralled with liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
Liturgy, the way your meeting is structured,
mm-hmm.
is very important.
Yeah.
We probably need to do a podcast on that. I'm sure we've talked about it.
Again, you've planned your liturgy.
You've planned, but it is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
There is no perfect liturgy. Some liturgies are better than others. There's no perfect liturgy. It does not bring you into God's presence. Only Jesus does that.
Yeah.
So, amen and amen. I think another thing that spontaneity gives us is the ability to respond to present needs and promptings.
Yeah, that's good. I would, can you mention, I was so moved before I even relocated to Louisville. I was so moved how your church came alongside Becca Northrup, one of your members, when she had lost her husband tragically in a car accident.
Yeah.
And she was pregnant with their, child.
A few days away from giving birth.
Right. And I just was so affected from a distance looking in at your church that you guys would sort of pause your series and say, let's talk about,
tragedy.
Tragedy. Let's talk about grief. Let's talk about, because that's not only does it serve your members, but it's a teaching opportunity.
Yes.
Like, and so that is spontaneous.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of that combination of planned spontaneity. I remember he died on a Thursday. And I remember being with some of the other pastors there at the hospital and just saying, well, this scraps our whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday and Saturday, we cobbled together something that I think really served the church on that Sunday. Because obviously, we were a smaller church and everybody was aware.
Yeah.
I think that is on a bigger scale. There are smaller scale moments where You know, I'll be leading a song, and we'll have a line from it that just, you know, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. I always use Before the Throne or In Christ Alone as my examples, because it's such great songs. So it tempts me to despair. And as we're singing that line, I may think, there are some people here who are really battling despair.
Right.
And so I could, after that meeting, after that song, say, you know, as we were singing that song, I just wondered, I thought the Lord might be saying that there's some people, despair is a real problem for you right now. Mm-hmm. You may have even thought of taking your life or doing something drastic because you just see no hope in your situation. Mm. God wants to remind you, He is the God of all hope. He is the God who has raised His Son from the dead so that you might know you will never be separated from His love. Mm. Just to say those things that are true,
yeah,
but at that moment, in that way, is spontaneous. Yeah. And I would call it prophetic. You might call it something else, but it's the Spirit impressing to say, yeah, say this, do this. Spontaneity can help us do that.
Yeah, and you're breaking through the structure, which I think can jolt people.
Yeah, it's different.
Of like,
yes.
I don't mean jolt in the wrong sense.
Yeah.
I mean jolt in sort of a right sense of like, okay, song one, song two, scripture.
Yes, yeah, this is what we
song
do.
Yeah.
Yep. So it gives us the freedom to respond to those present needs, promptings. Spontaneity can make us more aware of God's timely personal care. And again, the illustration I just shared, if someone was praying that morning, God, I can't do this anymore. I cannot go on. Would you give me some sign? And you could say to them, well, He did give you some sign. He sent His Son to die in your place for your sins. And that would be absolutely true. But God's a generous God. Mm. He's always looking for ways to express His love.
Yeah.
It's rooted. I mean, He can show no greater love than giving it. God shows His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5. But He's not a stingy God. He's not saying, unless you put your faith in that and get up off the floor, you sniveling. God's not like that. Yeah. He's saying, I want to show you, I want to convince you, I want to persuade you that my love is infinite.
Yeah.
It was proven at the cross, it was shown at the cross, it was demonstrated at the cross, but my love for you is now.
Yeah.
And so that's where those present promptings and that personal nature of what God is doing is helped by spontaneity. It's
that's
seen
great.
More clearly by spontaneity.
That's wonderful.
It can lead us to seeing God do powerful works in our midst. Mm. So you think of the end of 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25, where the unbeliever comes in. People are prophesying. They're saying things that upbuild and encourage and console. 1 Corinthians 14:3. That's what prophecy does. And so what he does, the secrets of his heart are disclosed. He falls on his face. He worships God and declares, God is really among you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we want to see that happen in our meetings?
Yes.
So that spontaneity can lead to that. And then it can nurture faith that God will do more than we can ask or think through the power at work within us.
Yeah.
And that's always a joy when you're going to say something.
No, that is a joy. Well, what I was going to say is it made me think of the hymn, Praise the Lord, the Almighty. We need more songs to talk about this. You know, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriends you. It's like, if we are called and ransomed by the Lord, be amazed at what He can do in our midst. Be amazed. Do we lean in expectantly that He could do more than we can even ask and think? I sometimes think we just like approach a gathering and go, well, you know, we've thought about the liturgy and we've asked, you know, people to come or whatever.
Yeah.
So more than you can ask and think.
Amen. And God responds to that. He loves that kind of faith.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. So limitations of spontaneity. So let's talk about the limitations of planning.
Mm-hmm.
If you are overly dependent on spontaneity, it can lead you to becoming overly dependent on feelings, emotions, experiences, and it causes us to minimize God's promised presence.
Yeah.
He promised to be with us as the word is preached. He promised to be with us as the Lord's Supper is shared. Mm-hmm. He promised to be with us as the saints gather. You can kind of dismiss all that and say, nothing's really happening until something spontaneous happens.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
Right.
It can result in unintentional, unnecessary repetition and confusion.
Yes.
Isaac Watts, in his book, A Guide to Prayer, I love this. If we utterly neglect preparation, we shall be ready to fall into many difficulties. Mm. Sometimes we shall be constrained to make long and indecent stops in prayer, not knowing what to say next. Sometimes when the mind is not... Sometimes when the mind is not regularly equipped, we run into a confused, incoherent, and impertinent rhapsody of words by which both God may be dishonored and the edification of ourselves and others spoiled.
Yes.
Dagger to the heart.
So good.
We can become agenda-driven by being overly spontaneous, just like, hey, what do I want to do? What do I think needs to be said?
Yes.
You know?
Right.
A leader who's just always speaking to what they feel or what's happening in culture, or, you know, it's just like that's where they get their basis from. What are we going to focus on? Well, just whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. And then it can be theologically shallow, inaccurate, or heretical. You know, I've seen YouTube spontaneous songs, and I just thought, there's one, I just have notes here. Get ready, ready, hold steady, steady. I'm about to do what's not expected. Mm. Okay. I don't even know what to do with
no
that.
No one knows what it means, no but it's provocative. Knows.
And then at its worst, spontaneity can usurp just good pastoral leadership. Mm. And which we don't want to do. So,
definitely.
How do we prepare to be spontaneous? We're going to run through these so this doesn't go on too long. First, prepare theologically. Mm-hmm. We want to use planning in a way that's really beneficial. We want to be spontaneous in a way that's really beneficial.
Yeah.
So how do we do this? How do we? And I think for most of us, it would be that preparing the spontaneous. If that's not you, then don't listen to this part. If you want to grow in spontaneity, prepare theologically. Study the attributes of God as He's revealed Himself in the gospel. Get to know God through His word and become persuaded theologically that this will be helpful for you and your church.
Good.
And I think so many times today, especially, churches are spontaneous in a way that's really unhelpful. Mm-hmm. It's not built in the Word of God. It's just built on this craving for experience.
Yeah.
Craving for authenticity. Make it real. Make it real.
Yeah.
Well, the Word of God is real.
Yeah.
It's eternal. It's dependable. It's mm-hmm. infallible. It's always true. Mm-hmm. So to say, you know, only what's spontaneous is really helpful, that's not good. But we can be always asking God to do more than we ask or think.
Yeah.
And I love this quote from Graham Harrison, UK pastor who's gone on to be with the Lord, from his article, Worship in the Presence of God. He says, there can be no substitute for that manifested presence of God, which is always a biblical possibility for the people of God. When it is not being experienced, they should humbly seek Him for it. Mm. And this is so important. Not neglecting their ongoing duties, nor denying their present blessings. Those two things. God's given us things to do, and He has already blessed us so much. Mm-hmm. But recognizing that there is always infinitely more with their God and Father, who desires fellowship with those redeemed by the blood of His Son and regenerated by the work of His Spirit.
Yeah.
Just love that. And two books I found very helpful, just in terms of how the Spirit works in spontaneity, are Showing the Spirit by D.A. Carson, and Paul, the Spirit and the People of God by Gordon Fee. We'll leave those in the notes for reference. Prepare musically if you're thinking, well, how does this happen? You know, practice spontaneity with your team. Do something different. Add an extra chorus. Keep playing at the end of a song. You know, practice it by yourself. Go unexpected places. Give them direction as you're leading in rehearsal. All those kinds of things can help them be ready.
Yeah.
If you should want to do something spontaneously in the actual meeting.
Yeah, that's great. Teach your musicians to listen and follow you. you know, because if they aren't listening to you and they're not following you and they're only married to the arrangement of the song.
Well, this is how we practice it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's like you can teach your musicians, you could sit out.
Yeah.
I think that's also a great option.
Yes.
You know, if you don't know this song, you can sing. You can like, you know, you can practice that, you know, the songs in your repertoire. But I just think like you've said this, like if there was a better song to end a service after the message has been preached, yeah, yeah. If there's a better song that is spontaneous than the one we've planned for,
yes, yes.
But your musicians don't know it, you'll still lead it.
Yeah. Just go up and lead it yourself.
Right. And yeah. I love that because it's like, well, that's not on the calendar. We have a planning center that you put on the, so I think that's great.
Yep. Third, prepare your heart. And by that, I mean, just recognize you are not just putting in your time. Mm. You are being used by God to serve his people, to shepherd them, to care for them. Ask God to enable people to see his glory in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
glorious, how beautiful, how gracious, merciful, powerful, and good he is.
Yeah.
Interact with the scriptures that you'll be reading and the songs mm-hmm. you'll be singing. So just prepare your heart.
Yeah.
Prepare administratively. You know, think, how could we be doing things better?
That's great.
And then take the steps to do those
That's
things better.
Great.
I didn't use Planning Center for quite some time, and then a friend of mine, Ken Bohr, who I was working with at the time, who's just a dear friend, and has said, hey, we should use Planning Center. I said, really? You think that really helped? So I started using it, and it's been a great tool.
Yeah.
It's been really helpful. It helps us be spontaneous.
Yeah.
Because what I do is I allot five minutes for each song, and I know the songs don't all take 5 minutes. So that leaves a little flexibility
in
your plans.
That's great.
So that part of preparing administratively is just not to so pack your meeting that you have no time to be spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say prepare relationally.
Mm-hmm.
Build bridges of trust with your team.
Yeah.
With your pastors,
yeah.
You know, so if there's something spontaneous going on, you have a bridge to walk on. You're not just stepping on really thin ice. Will this, like, I get in trouble for this? I don't know. Yeah, that's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, and serve your pastor and serve your church. You know, it's not just about you pushing against everything
yes,
else to
yes.
sort of shift things and move things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love that. I love that category.
So those are some ideas.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you want to get better in planning, you just need to do it. Ask mm-hmm. people to help you. I found it a great help to set aside Tuesdays at 1:30 to plan the Sunday meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a number of years, I just did it by myself, and now I do it with a group of people, and it's just so much better. And I know that's when we're going to do it. Sometimes mm-hmm. we can't. You know, for out of town or
yeah.
something. But most weeks, that's when we do it.
Yeah.
So that's helped me plan more effectively. So the end of all this is, you know, we want it all. God wants us to have it all.
Mm-hmm.
Planning, spontaneity, and authenticity. We can plan and be authentic. We can be spontaneous and be scripturally grounded.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
And I love what D.A. Carson writes at the end of Showing the Spirit. He says, we must desire to know more of God's presence in our lives and pray for a display of unleashed, reforming, revivifying power among us. Revivifying power among us. Dreading all steps that aim to domesticate God. So that's the spontaneous
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out with flags, just saying, yeah! But then he says this, but such prayer and hunger must always be tempered with joyful submission to mm-hmm. the constraints of biblical discipline.
Yes. Yeah, it's gold. Yeah.
So well said. So may it be so. May we seek to be so prepared for our meetings that spontaneity becomes just a natural part of our practice,
mm-hmm.
as well as planning so that everyone might see more clearly the greatness of our Savior, the power of His Spirit for the glory of God and the good of His people. Oh, love talking about this stuff.
Great. Thank you for talking about it, Bob. It's been great. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Sound Plus Doctrine, the podcast of Sovereign Grace Music. Sovereign Grace Music exists to produce Christ-exalting songs and training for the church from our local churches. For more information, free sheet music, translations, and training resources, you can visit us at sovereigngracemusic.org.